Blog Talk Radio.
Yeah. President Beta, Murder Master Music Show. It's that kid, Hanilla. Welcome to the Murder Master Music Show. This right here is where the real rap at.
From the Dayton family.
Baby, this is your boy, Uncle.
What up, y'all?
This is Keyshawn.
Yo, 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 what's up? This is your boy, C-Murder, and I'm chilling with my boy, Scott Beta, and you're listening to the Murder Master Music Show. It's the hottest thing out right now, you heard me? Keep it true.
Check out the motherfucking Murder Master Music Show right here at blogtalkradio.com/Murder Master Music Show. We play nothing but the hardest gangster shit from around the globe. Plus, we interview legends and pioneers of this motherfucking rap game. Call the number at 714-409-0548. Ain't nobody else paying homage to legends like we are. Fuck the lame stream, bitch.
What's up? We're going to try episode 34 once again. Don't forget, Thursday we got, the homie Al Capone coming through. Man, J.D. Walker's going to be in the building tonight at 10 p.m. For those of you who don't know who J.D. Walker is, I'll tell you what, this motherfucker, man, one of, if not the pioneer of that Chicago sound that everybody knows. Man, I'm not talking about that bullshit that Kanye's throwing out there. That I'm talking about that hard street shit. You know what I'm saying? This guy, I interviewed Soundmaster T. For those of you who don't know who he is, man, he had the first studio in the hood where motherfuckers could go and record some street shit. You know what I'm saying? Some motherfuckers that couldn't afford to go downtown, Soundmaster T had the first setup, and all the motherfuckers, you know, the psychodramas, and, you know, they all came through that studio. Well, T told me that J.D. Walker came through there one day, and he wanted to take this real slow beat, and he wanted to rap fast on it. And, T was like, you know, shit, man, I've never done nothing like that before. How the fuck is this going to work? And man, there you go. That's it right there. You know what I'm saying? You can check that out Halloween night. First issue of Underground Society magazine is dropping. So make sure you come out your pockets for that. It's only 2 1/4. If you can't afford $2.25, then, you know, fuck off. It's 50 pages, hella interviews, all kinds of fucking columns. Everybody contributed to this bitch. Want to shout out Dave, you know what I'm saying? He edited the magazine, a good majority of it. If there's any typos in there, it's for me. Want to shout out, you know what I'm saying, Mac J, Swoop, who else, Adam, JC Barba, my father, all the contributors, you know what I'm saying, and of course, you know what I'm saying, my brother Six for doing the layout, and we put it together. If I forgot anybody, that's why I ain't a rapper, folks, you know, please forgive me because I can't remember all of you. So just cop the fucking magazine, $2.25, or, you know what I'm saying, get a yearly subscription to that motherfucker for $12. You can't go wrong, you know, because we are bringing you a fucking year of this shit guaranteed. So next issue is going to drop January 1st, right on New Year's, and it's gonna be featuring Memphis legends. This issue is featuring a lot of Chicago legends and shit. So, but yeah, man, we got one hell of a show. We tried to do this last week. We had some fucking we had some problems. Thanks to Blog Talk once again. So you know, I got a pre-recorded interview with JT of In Too Deep, which we aired last week, so I'm gonna play it again for those of you who didn't hear it, because I erased the archives, so it's technically new to y'all because a lot of motherfuckers missed it. And then at 10 p.m. we got J.D. Walker coming through. But just in case you don't know who J.D. Walker is, I'm gonna play this shit right here. This This is a classic. This is Chetty Walker featuring Dilemma. Kill the Popo.
With my gun, both of niggas on the run. We live like mothers for the profits. Y'all don't fit empty your pockets. Just a stick up, pick up my gap. Like I told you, old red head is market pockets. Ain't no bargain. Let me fucking dream. Like this, that bed is rough. Stab it, throw it. If you come up, you're gonna be running up short with a dollar slam. Jump that bitch when it gets this time. Promise, budget, every time. From my grind. Me and the limo be doing the crime. The dimes are dank. We're smoking the trunk and the rap in the bank. We don't give a fuck in the bank of the bank. Jump out, pop out, scream in the shop. Look around, look out. We're coming up quick like that for life. In the middle of the midnight.
Right there from the Bogus Banging EP, 1997, I believe, 96. I'm saying this shit was raw as fuck. Up in the Murder Dog. You know, for those of you who don't know, J.D. Walker brought Murder Dog to Chicago back in the mid-90s. You know what I'm saying? So he did a lot for the city of Chicago. Because, and this was before, you know, Rap-A-Lot got Do or Die. This was before Psychodrama got with Suave, before Crucial Conflict really got put on. You know, J.D. Walker definitely was a major force behind the scenes in the city of Chicago. So was my brother Steel the Bad Black. That motherfucker was the first cat to record in Soundmaster T's studio. This is back in 89, and right when he came to the Shy from Mississippi. So, you know, when you're fucking with these cats, you're fucking with the history of the Chicago street shit. You know what I'm saying? No ifs, ands, or buts about it, man. These guys are the fucking part of the originators, definitely. You know, you got to give props, of course, you know, to people like Traxter and, you know, of course, like I said, Psychodrama, various other groups. But, you know, definitely you can't mention Chicago without mentioning Soundmaster T, J.D. Walker, and CO. And the fucked up thing about it is most motherfuckers don't even know about them guys outside of Chicago. You know what I'm saying? I mean, yeah, they got fan bases around the world. You know, people in different countries know about them. But, I mean, as far as their influence on the city and the impact they had on the city, you know, legendary Pink House, you know, he was DJ over at 950 AM, 106. Pink House, man, he broke records for Psychodrama. He broke records for Do or Die. The first time you heard Do or Die was, you know, 950 AM. The first time you heard... you know, Triple Darkness and all these different groups was Pink House breaking these cats on the radio. And CO, man, CO used to drive Pink House to the radio station. You know what I'm saying? And, you know, rest in peace to Pink House. I grew up listening to him. I know my brother Mac J. I'm going to bring you on, Mac, if you're there.
I'm on here.
What can you tell me about 9:50 a.m. Pink House, man?
Man, they played all the cuts, man. You know what I'm saying? Like, that you wouldn't normally hear on the radio. You know what I'm saying? But I did not know that was CO on that Slipping Away, man, until I just checked the video out. I used to have that damn tape.
Yeah, they had a cassette single, a maxi single.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? I'm sitting there looking at the YouTube video. I'm like, wow, he was so young then, I guess. You know what I'm saying? I wasn't even just paying him no attention. But I remember all that shit, man. It's just like you were saying, how JD and them was the first guys before, you know what I'm saying, Crucial Conflict and all of them came out. Like, he was the first one with that style, that rap like that. And he had everybody, I mean, everybody, not even only in the city of Chicago. I'm talking about the south suburbs and the northern suburbs. Everybody was hopping on that type of style because that was our own thing. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, definitely. You know, and you know, back in, it's very important to catch and know about that. You know, if it wasn't for Pink House, you know, a lot of these guys wouldn't have got the opportunity because a lot of them other radio stations in the show, like B96, they wouldn't play shit. You know,
yeah,
all they
you know
play,
GCI wasn't going to play shit.
No, all they played was Bad Boy Bill and some house music. And, you know, remember the Bad Boy Bill mixtapes he had? I think it was called Bang the Box.
Yeah, Bang the Box.
I think Six is apps, man. He's out there banging the box on some broad somewhere. But, yeah, man, Chicago, people don't understand, you know, the influence Chicago had because you got to think about it. We were right in the middle. So
yeah.
we soaked up shit from everywhere, from the south, from fucking the east and the west.
Yeah, because you had guys that wanted to, you know, they had the east coast style of rap, or you had the guys that was trying to do the west coast stuff. But when JD and them came out, it was like they had their own identity with how they was doing it, you know what I'm saying? And then Psychodrama, they kind of flipped the game a little bit too, you know what I'm saying? But JD Num was the original, they was the original cats, man. And I was a young dude, probably like maybe I think around 9th, 10th, maybe 11th grade, you know what I'm saying, when I first started getting them tapes. And it was like, these cats from right here in the city, you know what I'm saying? Like, and when you go up there and you ask people, everybody knew who J.D. Walker was because he was still actually in the streets. He wasn't just rapping and saying this stuff. Like, you might actually see these dudes out here doing shit. You know what I'm saying? He had that street reputation to fucking cats up. So when cats don't know about the city of Chicago, like a lot of these dudes and even Common them, they from rough neighborhoods. You know what I'm saying? So It ain't just no sugarcoating glittery shit and motherfuckers just trying to make themselves sound. If half these cats saying what they doing on the album, they probably was doing that shit for real.
And you look at that song right there, Kill the Popos, and I know you remember various areas in Chicago, motherfuckers were sniping at them.
Oh, yeah.
And that shit right there, I mean, there's neighborhoods, like you said, that the cops won't even fucking go in.
Yeah,
they're
like even in the Cabrinis,
death.
Remember they had when they tore down the first high rise and they just had that big ass field.
Up
that
on
shit
the roof.
Was known as the killing field for real. Because police wouldn't even come through there, and if you get caught walking through there late at night and them dudes don't know you, you might get fucked around.
Robert Taylor Holmes. I mean, this shit was you know what I'm saying, a mecca for violence, and obviously it still is because here we are 2012 and it's just fucking crazy. Year ain't over with yet. You know, people are still killing each other, man. And it's kids.
Right.
You know. But, You know, that's definitely what's up, though, man. You and I, man, we were born the same fucking year. We grew up.
Yeah,
Brad,
you're a little older than me, though.
Yeah, just a little
few months
bit,
older
a little
than
bit.
Me.
A few more gray hairs, that's it. But, you know, we definitely, going to rep for the city.
Yeah, plus you got me reminiscing on a whole lot of shit, man, like a lot of stuff that I ain't necessarily have forgot but hadn't thought about it, like, you know what I'm saying, and then you get to bringing up stuff, and I'm like, wow, I remember that now, you know what I'm saying? That's why, like I said, I did not know that was CO in that video, man, and I had that tape, and I didn't seen that video. It's been a long-ass time since I've seen it, and I'm like, wow. Just
yeah.
Blow my mind, man. Take my mind back, man, because I wish we can get them days back, you know what I'm saying? And eventually it's going to go back to that, you know what I'm saying, where, you know, this swagger shit finna be drowning out after a while. I got a real good feeling it is, especially with what we doing with the UGS. And like you were saying earlier, man, y'all go cop this motherfucking magazine, $2.25, $12 for the subscription, man. You can't be beat, man. I'm buying like 3 or 4 of them, you know what I'm saying? And shit,
yeah.
I'm trying to get everybody to buy them, man, because it's a magazine that they not going to want to miss out. And if you miss out on it, you're going to be sleeping. Once you finally do get up on it, you're going to be like, damn. But we still going to have them other magazines for sale, too, so y'all can keep on getting them. So
oh, yeah.
I'm excited about Wednesday, dog.
Yeah, definitely, definitely. This shit's going to drop. And, you know, that's just the first issue. You know what I'm saying? So, It's going on, man. It's going on, definitely. We got to make it. Next month we're gonna make it Memphis. You know what I'm saying? Have probably Lord Infamous, a few other cats. I don't want to give any names. But man, shit, man. Issue 1 and 2 is all about you, really, man. Cause you know, Chicago, Memphis.
Yeah,
you know?
That's what I'm saying. Like it's right up my motherfucking alley. I-55 ride, baby.
Yeah.
Shit.
Yeah, definitely. You know, but I'm gonna get back into some more music here in a minute. But I'm gonna go play that JT interview that we did last week that motherfuckers missed because Blog Talk.
I missed it, man. I was trying to get on. I had a couple people calling in too. They was texting me like, "What's going on?" I'm like, "Man, they trying to get it working." I think, but see here where we was at, it was raining real hard and shit. So I don't know if it had something to do with that shit or whatever the fuck, but. The motherfuckers got us fucked up. They better recognize this UGS shit ain't gonna stop regardless if they try to fuck the show up or not.
Yeah, definitely. We can't let that happen no more. But yeah, hold the line, brother, man. We're gonna get off in this interview and
yeah, I ain't going nowhere. UGS for life, baby.
Definitely UGS for life. This is the interview. I'm gonna let Swoop introduce this. You there, Swoop?
Yeah, what's up? Hey, before I introduce that, man, that fucking JD song was raw.
You never heard that shit before?
Nah, I never fucking heard that shit before, man. I'm out here smoking on a BZ and sipping on a 40, man, and that shit came on, dog, and that bass line hit, and those motherfuckers was flipping. I was like, shit, my spaceship, man, busted through the motherfucking roof. I was out this motherfucker
swooped
going
over
wild.
There, man. He's sipping on a 40. He's trapped in a 40-ounce like the Jackster. Or what do they call him, the big waxer?
Nah, this fool, this motherfucker just referred to me as the Jackster. You compare me to the Jackster. Come on, cuz, what is that?
Nah.
Oh, hell no. Nah. You got it coming now. What Mac J say? That motherfucker said, I'm going to catch you when you inactive.
Yeah, I better not sleep then tonight, man. But
yeah, your ass better stay the fuck up.
Introduce this interview, man.
Man, this interview... One of my first interviews that I got to do with the guy that was, somebody that's known that's been on MTV and been around the world. It's JT from In Too Deep. Some of you older cats might remember him, man. Check this shit out. It's good shit. And tonight's show, I'm about to go into one of the most influential artists that ever come out of Bay, man. I mean, he scored a gold record with his group effort with Back to the Hotel. And, I mean, for damn near 20 years, homeboy been steady dropping records. I mean, one after another, whether it's mixtapes or whatever. But anyways, man, go ahead and breed them all. Y'all know him from groups like In Too Deep, Latino Velvet. Shit, most of y'all know him as the player JT. What's up, homie?
What's cracking?
Shit, man. Just chilling.
What's good?
Man, I want to jump way back for a quick minute and talk about the early shit, if that's cool with you.
Yeah, it's all good.
Man, after you met Johnny Z and TL and you guys formed Into Deep, man, did it ever occur to you that you guys would be like the next breakthrough artists on some Too Short, Richie Rich, or Digital Underground level for the 90s, the early 90s?
Man, back then it was just, really we're just trying to get a name in Vallejo, you know. It wasn't like it is now where there's, you know, so many rappers in every city. Back then it was, you know, it was N2D, it was E40 and the Click, and it was Mac Dre. So, you know, back then we're just trying to make Vallejo proud. And, you know, yeah, of course, we never, you know, never would have thought that, you know, N2D would have went nationwide.
Now, back then you was recording, I mean, there was all kind of groups going in and out. Like you said, the Mac Dre's and the E40s. Were those guys already established at that time?
I mean, Mac Dre definitely, he had his name, you know, already through the streets. He was probably, you know, the biggest at that time. E-40 had just came out with, like, the, you know, I think it was, like, the Mr. Flamboyant tape. And we were working on, you know, our album. We had that, we dropped a 4-song cassette for those old school cats who know what a cassette is. We dropped a 4-song cassette called Telly, which is the original name of Back to the Hotel. So it was you know, Back to the Hotel and three other songs on a cassette. And that, you know, that there kind of got us, you know, got our name out there in Vallejo. And then actually that cassette is what Profile Records ended up hearing, and that's how we got our record deal.
Okay, so when you were recording those songs, that was before the Rated Z then?
Yeah, no, actually, when we first started, when we took it seriously, that when we knew that that's what we were going to do, we built the Rated Z studio, which is still there. It's, you know, for you catching below, it's at 710 Marin Street. So that was the headquarters of everything that was related to what we were doing. So everybody would come, you know, Mac Dre's, you know, been down there. We basically recorded the whole Rompilation Volume 1 at Rated Z. But, at that time, you know, we were down at, we built the studio and we started recording there, not even having a record deal. We just, you know, we figured hopefully we could get it cracking and you know, sell a few units.
Yeah, and that's the, man, that's the same place where Master P was recording at the time. Is that right or wrong?
No. Master P was, so after we started recording our songs there, we wanted to go mix them somewhere better. So that's when we had met up with Kalu, and Kalu had a small studio in Richmond above like a hair salon or something. So it was just a real small space. So he would be just booked back to back to back. He'd have a, you know, a morning session, then the afternoon session would come in, some different cast, and he'd have a night session. So we went there. Johnny Z actually met Kalu somewhere, so we started recording there. We hooked up E-40 with Kalu, and E-40 was when he started working on the first Click album, the Down and Dirty. They started recording there, and Master P was already recording with Kalu because Kalu's from Richmond, and that's where Master P was at. So that's how the whole Kalu situation came about.
Yeah, and you never you guys never got down or not on a track or anything
with Master P?
Yeah.
Nah, we ended up having like one of the cast that was with it. Everyone used to have their black and white promo pictures up on Kalu's walls. And
yeah,
somebody
this
wrote
is going to end of
sh-
what my next question was going to be.
Yeah. Somebody wrote a Master P shirt. They wrote JT on his shirt. So then, you know, so when he came in and I don't play games like that. So that wasn't even me. So he seen that, then he put a noose around my neck in my picture.
Oh,
that TL put a dick in his mouth. The TL can draw hella good. So TL put a dick in his mouth, and then that's how he hated us ever since.
Hey, that's what made him say,
Yeah, I think he gave us a shout out at one of his tapes, fucking too deep.
Yeah, I read that he put fucking too deep. I've never seen it, but that's what I read. But on a serious note, man, what's it like when as a kid, not a kid, but maybe a late teen, and going out on the road after your success and doing the summer jams and those big bass shows and outside of Vallejo, all the love and shit. How's that feel when you're still young in the game?
Man, I mean, thinking back on it, like it was, I didn't really, know what I had at that time to be, single, no kids, no responsibility. I had a nice condo overlooking the water, So like, I was living like a dream, So yeah, I mean, it was like, I just thought it was going to last my whole life. I thought, okay, I'm going to be a millionaire my whole life. And, I just was living. I was going out every night, partying, bras, every city I went to, alcohol, just buying drinks everywhere. So, I mean, I had a great life. But, once you, realize, okay, I got to, make this last for 50 more years, then you kind of scale down your party and try to concentrate on making money. And luckily, I've been able to, continually do that. So, but yeah, those first 10 years when, I just was carefree. I mean, it was the greatest feeling ever. Everywhere you go, you kind of get recognized and, people are, I was always a real cool person. So I never really had problems with anybody. So it was always love everywhere I went. And, been to Hawaii, two or three times off of music. Japan.
Hey, ain't no wrong with that.
Yeah,
ain't no wrong with that at all.
Yeah, we had a great time.
And you do have a song. I can't remember what album it is, man. I own most of your whole catalog, but you have a song and you said I fucked off a half a meal. What would you say to new up and coming rappers who might find themselves young with a bank full of money and like you said, single and ready to just live it up? What would you say to them?
Yeah, I mean, definitely, you need to think. I mean, which is hard. It's hard too at that time. Like, you think like, okay, I mean, like I picked up several times over $100,000 checks. So you think, oh, I got this. I got 200 grand right now. I'm gonna keep getting this. So you don't think like, okay, well, just, let me stop for a second and think like, what if this really does end and this is my last check? So once you pick one up and you might get another one, you're going to think that they're always going to come, but, most likely they're not. So, cats out there that's getting money right now, of course, you kind of got to dress and drive the part and, so you kind of, you can't, still be looking bum. You kind of got to play the part, being successful. So of course you gotta, buy, clothes, and you can't be pulling up in no bucket. But I mean, just think a little bit down the road, like, okay, I need to, put some money away, invest in something or do something with your money, buy it, get you a house that you get for a good deal, that if everything fails you can still make that payment. So definitely just think ahead, have a little bit of fun with it, but don't. That's what I did.
Yeah.
I was just having fun every day until I went.
I went
to the ATM and I couldn't even pull out a 20. So that's when I had to regroup and start all over. So it's all
and
good.
And it happens to so many up and coming rappers too.
What's that?
It happens to a lot of people. I said it happens to a lot of up and coming rappers too. And they don't recover. They don't continue to make record after record. They just up and disappear. But man, I'm going to say out of the whole Into Deep catalog, man, Slightly Pimpish, Mostly Doggish, that was the record for me, man. I know it's promoted as an Into Deep record, but it was pretty much a solo. It was there any reason why TL wasn't on it, or there was no beef or nothing, was there?
If you listen to all the Into Deep, besides Back to the Hotel, the actual song, that's the only song that he ever rapped on two verses. Like, I always was, even on that album, I had like four or five solo songs. And then every other song besides Back to the Hotel, I would rap two verses, he would rap one. So then on the second album, 24/7/365, I started writing his raps. So on that album, I basically wrote, most of his raps. And I was just recording songs, so a lot of that album is just even more solo JT songs. And then, you know, same thing with the Rumble with, and the Golden State and the Rumble. And then when we got around to doing our fifth album, which was Slightly Tempest, Mostly Doggess, what happened? So, oh, yeah, me and him fell out over some – he had this one chick that she didn't like him doing shows no more. So it was actually me and Miami the most, went to his house to pick him up to go on, you know, on a road trip, and he didn't come outside. You know, he was there, locked the door, closed the blinds, and just said, "Fuck it, I ain't coming out." So that was during
putting
the recording
bitches
of
that over money.
So, huh?
Said he was putting broads over money.
Yeah, exactly. So I just said, "All right, cool." So I went out there. Me and him didn't talk for like 5 years. So Slightly Pimpish came out, and that's why I was just on the cover, and that was basically the last Into Deep album. And then,
yeah,
like,
that album was,
you know,
laughing. But y'all got cool again, though, right?
Yeah, and then like 4 or 5 years later, when I had the record store in Vallejo, Mac Dre actually made us cool. Mac Dre came over and we were recording for the JT So Cold album. That's when I was working on my solo album. And, you know, Dre came over and he was recording, what was the name of the song we did? Oh, I Can't Go For That. It was called I Can't Go For That. So we're recording that song. He's like, "Man, where's TL at?" I'm like, "Man, I don't really fuck with him." He's like, "Man, call him up." So I still had his number, so I called it and I gave Dre the phone, and TL showed up in like 5 minutes after five
Hell
years.
Yeah.
So like, and then we did that day. Me and TL did a song called "Dope for Sale," which came out on some compilation. I think the On One compilation. So from that day on, Mac Dre made us cool, and then, you know, we back.
Speaking of Mac Dre, rest in peace to the brother. But man, what was he like in the studio? Was he any different than like different outside of how we knew him on the music as a fan?
He
always seemed like real humble. He seemed real happy, smiling, fun.
Yeah, he was basically just like that. I mean, he had, you know, he was always on a weed mission. So, if you know, when I picture Mac Dre in my head, I see him like when we did Chop That Hoe song. That was the last time I actually seen him. I was living in Arizona at that time, so I used to fly out to the Bay. I, you know, land in Sac, and I just call up whoever I was, you know, or they already knew I was coming. But so I had already, you know, told him I had the song. Wanted him to get on, so I had a portable studio. So right when I landed, I called him, and he said, "Man, meet me in my house." And he was staying in Sacramento, so I think I picked up Miami somewhere, and then me and him went to Dre's house, and he wasn't even there yet. His lady was there, so she had let us in, and then I set up my studio, and he came in, and he wrote that his whole verse on Chop That Hoe, just stand up in the kitchen. He was rolling weed, telling us stories. He never even, like, wrote nothing. Like, he just stood there. I had the beat on repeat. So the beat just kept playing. And for, like, 2 hours, he was just telling us stories, rolling weed, smoking weed, drinking, you know, back and forth, telling us stories. And he said, "All right, I'm ready." I'm like, "You didn't write that?" And he goes, "Nah, I've been writing in my head." So he goes in there, and he "Once Upon a Starry Night," and he did that whole rap. And we just did it in a little bedroom. And it was in Miami. He listened to Chop That Hoe. Go listen to all the ad-libs that Miami's doing in the background. So just imagine the room is hella, you know, when you do a rap, you got to be quiet in the room. So me and Dre are just sitting there, and Miami is doing all the ad-libs, and we're just cracking up. So listen to the words he's saying.
Now, is that the same song where he says something like, "I don't know algebra, but I can make that bra count"? Yeah. I can't remember what
that's
he said. That shit was dope.
So he wrote he wrote that while he was talking and rolling weed, and he just somehow put it in his head and went and laid it.
And man, that's just one of the legends that you fuck with. Man, what was it like working with the late, great Roger Troutman with Latino Velvet? Did you guys actually get him in the studio?
We actually sent those, but we did kick it with Roger. We would send them. I mean, this was another crazy story. We had hooked up with him, and that's what we did. I was working on the Rumble, and we're working on the first Latino Velvet album. So we sent him two songs, the song that he was called All Night off the NCD Rumble, and then Rosa Parks. So we sent him, back then he used to record on ADATs, for, you know, cast that, know about that, it looked like a VHS tape. So we sent him an overnight box full of, you know, like eight ADAT tapes to his hotel. So, you know, say we sent it out on Monday, he got it Tuesday, he somehow did this shit the same day, and we got it on, so we sent him the cash inside of the FedEx, he got it up the next day and sent it back out to us the same day, so the very next, so, you know, Monday, we sent it out Monday, we got it back Wednesday, put it in, all his vocals, I mean, he killed it, he did like, you know, he did it perfectly on both songs. So he did it at his hotel room. He had some kind of, you know, mobile setup too, and he shot it right back to us. And then we ended up, I think we're in Denver or Albuquerque somewhere doing a show with Roger, and he said, "Man, you guys come up." You know, he liked Latino Velvet. He's like, "Man, you guys come up to my room and, you know, talk to you guys." So we went up there, and he told us his whole story of how he first got his record deal and how he was on the plane crying because he thought he blew it when he made. He thought that More Bounce to the House was a failure. He thought he did it too crazy. So he's on the plane like, "Man, I just fucked my record deal off." And he went and turned in the record, and, you know, it fucking was the biggest shit ever. So we did, you know, we kicked it with Roger, and he was crazy. He would he was calling down at the room service, and he knew how to talk like a little cartoon. He made this crazy voice. So he called the room service and was tripping the people out because he knew how to make his voice hella crazy.
So he was just a real humble dude in general.
Yeah, he was cool.
Oh, that's dope, man. That's dope. It's dope that you got to record with him too and kick it with him.
Yeah.
Dude was definitely a legend. Man, so what's up with all these videos popping up, dog? I see videos all over now, JT. You doing your own videos these days?
Yep. I've been last couple years been, you know, shooting or if I'm in the video, I have, you know, like one of my dudes shoot, you know, my scene.
Yeah,
but,
yeah.
It's, you know, a little side thing I've been doing. And, you know, I've been getting good views. And everybody out there, check me out on youtube.com/JT707. And you can see all my videos. I just filmed a Baby Bash and Paul Wall video for... Buddha Love off the Bash and JT MSU album. And then for my new album, I got a couple videos that I'm finishing up to be able to promote that.
And how important you think that is in the game today to be able to multitask, you know, being the rapper and the producer and the video director and the editor and all that, and the promoter?
And, I mean, it's honestly like I wish there was like two more cats that I could find that were like me, because it's exactly like I'm taking my own pictures, shooting my own videos, I do all my, you know, not real album cover artwork, but like flyers and shit for my website or Facebook stuff, all that. And so, like, you know, it definitely does. I wish I had someone that, you know, I could trust and was as sharp as me to help me out, because I do, you know, have a lot of shit going on, so... But yeah, I mean, definitely you can't just be, I mean, I guess you could just be the rapper, but you got to have like a business mind and know what's going on with digital distribution, with, you know, your record sales, with, you know, getting money off shows and you know, the whole merchandising thing. So, I mean, just, I was lucky that I was, you know, I was kind of smart, you know, street smart and, you know, book smart. So I was able to, you know, figure a lot of shit out that, you know, a lot of other people probably, you know, I taught myself how to record Pro Tools and edit video. I, you know, I never went to school for none of that, but I just was able to figure it out.
You do that as well for other people, or you just do it for yourself?
I shot a video for Stress from the Federation. You know, I've shot some videos for Bash and Young Drew and, you know, Muggsy is my boy from the Mafia, so I record him, you know, all the time. And,
Speaking of Young Drew, I mean, you guys been fucking with him since he was a baby.
Yeah.
I remember hearing shit from him when, I mean, you don't even recognize him now that his voice has changed. He was young.
Yeah.
I mean, you basically molded that dude. You and I mean, everybody else that was around him, but with the and I've seen videos of E-40 talking about you gave him his first gold record. I mean, how's that make you feel, knowing that you're an inspiration, you put people in places?
Yeah, I mean, it's like I said, when we first started out, it was, you know, it wasn't like it is now where you knew, like anyone now, basically, if they start rapping, they're probably, you know, they already know that that's a outlet that they can, you know, end up famous or making money off of. But back then, there really wasn't, especially in Vallejo, it wasn't like, okay, I'm going to start rapping and I'm going to get famous and I'm going to make this into a living, because you either had to be from New York or barely, you had to be from L.A., you know, NWA and all that was just cracking off. So it really wasn't like, you know, how it is now where there's, you know, all kind of cats that are doing it from out here. So the Bay Area wasn't even really a region that was, you know, that would be like being from Montana right now trying to start rapping. You know, we were still like aliens, you know, kind of alienated from the real rap game. So, you know, we did it with no intentions of trying to, you know, be, you know, successful. So, I mean, yeah, I'm, you know, my dad and Drew's dad were friends, so that's how me and Drew, you know, had a little connection. And so, yeah, you know, I helped him out.
Man, it's almost been, what, 18, 19, 20 years since you first fucked with 40 and you to introduce this song that you sent me in, and we'd like to spin it before you go.
Okay, so I'll go, yeah, we, you know, I'm one of the, you know, one of the cats that got, you know, VIP privileges to go up to 40's house. I've been, you know, going there ever since he lived up where he lives at. So, you know, we go up there, we drink, we have fun, we knock out a song here and there. And the last time I went, we did this song. It's called Beating Down the Block, JT featuring E-40. It's my new shit, so make sure you turn it up real, real loud.
Yeah, you're dealing with some cats that have had it. Been getting it. Been looked over. From a small city,
man. Yes,
where
Sammy.
We from, folks?
Vallejo, California, man.
What the fuck is it that we got?
Talent, man. Real hustlers, real fishers, real factors, gags. Niggas ain't playing, man. Yes, Sammy. Stop fucking around in that corn, niggas, man. We own this shit, bruh.
Now you can find us in the street, standing right on the curb, trying to make our money tall. We've been broke before, but not no more. Playboy, we trying to ball. See, it's a lot of young cats that's just like us, deep in the game, trying to serve a knock. We keep it 24/7 around the clock. You can hear us beat down the block.
Earl, thorough, girl. He far from a cat, he from the bay. What shit originated at? Yeah, pimping and hustling, style just styling for now. Just wanna be my baby mama, put my name on her chest.
If I ever had a chance to fuck him, I fuck him good.
He might not be a sex symbol, but I bet that he got wood.
He got wood.
Smashing him, reputation is patient. They might as well join him, cause you probably can't be.
Probably having his corners in you.
Yins and rude.
Ain't nothing fruity about him. But
he like food.
Tangible. Big ass piece of cantaloupe. Give it a dinky stamina. I'm in the cup of the kidney panda. Fly through in the drop, nerve-wracking ass knock, making the spot hot, bump on my neck and pop, clapping them hella loud.
Wondering if some of these toy-ass rappers will still be alive.
Now you can find us in the street, standing right on the curb, trying to make our money tall. We've been broke before, but not no more. Playboy, we trying to ball. See, it's a lot of young cats that's just like us, deep in the game, trying to serve a knock. We keep it 24/7 around the clock.
Caddy count bread, getting here from a show. My phone started ringing, I picked it up and it was cold. He said he was in a V-town, okay. Making mission. Put my dick back in my drawer, yeah. Put the key in the ignition. I slid down 80 hit magazine. Got a trunk full of liquor and a bag and rag. I'm pooped up, what it sound like, really in the trunk, though. Told my bitch you driving home, I'm finna get drunk, ho. I'm with my partner, and I ain't seen him in a minute. He's the boss of the bay, and I'm the motherfucking lieutenant. I stepped out.
100 block right here, hey. No matter where I'm at, I claim for live. It's me, Charlie Hooker, we got games for sale. Hit us up if you with it, cause man, I must admit it. We in the same brush trying to get it. You can find us in the street, standing right on the curb, trying to make our money, dog. We been broke before, but not no more. Playboy, we trying to ball. See, it's a lot of young cats that's just like us, deep in the game, trying to serve a knock. We keep it 24-7, around the clock. You can hear us beat down the block. Now you can find us in the street, standing right on the curb, trying to make our money tall. We been broke before, but not no more. Playboy, we trying to ball. See, it's a lot of young cats that's just like us, deep in the game, trying to serve a knock. We keep it 24-7, around the clock. You can hear us beat down the block.
There you have the interview with JT from In Too Deep. I'm saying, Brother Swoop, knock that shit out the park. That's what's up, you know what I'm saying? It's that Bay Area shit right there. Saying shout out to Six out there in the fucking Bay. I got to bring on my brother Trey Wood, man. This is my brother from the Shy. Trey Wood, first of all, how you doing, brother?
I'm good. What's to it?
Man, for people that don't know you, man, and people that they're not familiar with you, explain to them exactly who you are.
I'm Trey Wood, man. I'm a Chi-Town representative, man. You know what I'm saying? Been in the game for like 16, 17 years. You know, I represent Chicago, man, the whole Midwest, man. You know what I'm saying? I'm an OG, man. I'm a hood legend, man. And, you know, Trey Wood's big classics.
Yeah. And Trey Wood, who did you come up with?
J.D. Walker, Crucial Conflict, Twister, Do or Die, Triple Darkness, Psycho Drummer, you know, the whole West Side, Dilemma, Renegades, you know, everybody who, man.
All legendary names right there. All legendary names, man.
C.O. the Black, C.O. the Bad Black, I can't forget the Bad Black, man.
Yeah. Now me and the brother Mac J earlier, we were talking about 9:50 a.m. and we were talking about Pink House. What exactly did Pink House mean to the city of Chicago?
Oh man, Pink House was a legend, man. R.I.P. to him, man. You know what I'm saying? He really like the first guy that was really breaking through hip hop, man. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Pink House is we love Pink House, man. We miss Pink House, man, because Pink House was the one that let people know that Chicago got talent up here, man. You know what I'm saying? They was overlooking a lot of talent up here, man.
Yeah, real shit, real shit. You know what I'm saying? We got a song here we're going to play. You sent me a lot of music recently, which I've been bumping. But this one particular, man, if you can, introduce this song for us.
Man, this your boy Trey Wood, it's Hood, man, featuring Outbreak and my cousin Thrax, man. It's called Break 'Em Off, man. For all you cats don't know, we can get down like that, man. Everywhere we go, man, we break 'em off, man. You know what I'm saying?
Definitely, definitely. Hey, if you can't stick around, man, we're going to have JD on in about 10 minutes or so.
Yep, I got it. Yeah, you know I am.
All right, thanks a lot, man.
Break 'em off, bitch. Slap them niggas. Break 'em off, break 'em off. on. You getting dough around him? Break them off, break them off. You smoking draw around him? Break them off, break them off. They putting locks on these hoes. Break them off, break them off. I'm going off on these hoes. Break them off, break them off. Every time I flow, I break them off, break them off. Everywhere I go, I break them off, break them off. I break them off with a left and a right cross. Kick cat ass niggas when it's murder, you turn soft. I bitch slap you chump cause your label made you front. I'm not the type to stunt, I'm the rapper with the T in the front. He called in my hood, Trey Wish a nigga would. You'll get broke off like your big homie should. You getting a lot of dough, you got a nice flow. You have a dime for a hoe, you pour up a nice flow. I wish you come through my hood, riding on 24s. That'll be Trey Wood pulling on the handle of your dough. You'll get bitch slap chump, the commander of rap. Like boot camps, I had your ass running 21 laps.
Kick cat ass niggas,
break them all, break them all.
Bitch slap them niggas,
break them all, break them all.
You getting dough around him,
break them all, break them all.
You smoking draw around him,
break them all, break them all.
They putting locks on these hoes,
break them all, break them all.
I'm going out on these hoes,
break them all, break them all.
Every time I flow, I
break them all, break them all.
Everywhere I go, I
break them all, break them all.
I got so many bars, got to start selling liquor. I got so many bras, every day a nigga switch up. As a shorty, mama told me, if you bigger, pick a brick up. Now I'm bigger, I ain't fighting, but I'm still picking bricks up. Counting large amounts, I get my chips up. I ain't talking male deals when I say big bucks. Park at the park just to get my dicks up. Gorilla untamed, never change or switch up. 86 cutlass with the out of town place. Throwing strikes from the mound, you never make it to the base. I break in your crib, make you take me to the safe. For you trying to play your queen, I'ma take it with the ace.
Cat ass niggas,
break them all, break them all.
Bitch slap them niggas,
break them all, break them all.
You getting dough around him,
break them all, break them all.
You smoking draw around him,
break them all, break them all.
They putting locks on these hoes.
Break them all, break them all.
I'm going off on these hoes.
Break them all, break them all.
Every time I flow, I
break them all, break them all.
Everywhere I go, I
break them all, break them all.
That's what's up right there. That's the homie Trey Wood. You want to check out his music, you know what I'm saying, definitely hit him up on Facebook, you know what I'm saying, / Trey Wood, T-R-A-W-O-O-D. Also hit him up on the SoundCloud. Let me see. I'm going to bring you back on, Trey Wood. Tell him what your SoundCloud is. Trey Wood, what's your SoundCloud, brother?
It's Trey Wood is Hood. You can catch me on Reverb Nation, Trey Wood is Hood. Just hit up Trey Wood is Hood, man. MySpace. Facebook.com.
All that shit.
Trey Wood. All that shit, man. Prayers, I love you too, man.
Hey, much love to you, man. You're a fucking legend in the game. You know that this show is all about, you know what I'm saying, paying homage to legends and pioneers. So that's why you're on it, brother.
Yes, sir. I appreciate it.
Yeah, much love, man. We'll have JD here in a little bit.
Okay. So what, you want me to stay on the line?
Yeah, stay on the line, bro.
Alright.
I'll play some more songs and we're gonna get JD on. That's the homie Trey Wood, man. Definitely a legend, you know what I'm saying? Down with the Brother CEO, the Bad Black, Soundmaster T, Ja Rista. I mean, you know, there's a lot of cats in the shot, man. I'm gonna play another song by legendary JD Walker featuring CEO the Bad Black on the chorus, Slipping Away. This one Mac J was talking about earlier, and then right after this, we're going to call up to homie JD.
I'm slipping away, gonna dip, get a bucket, get a pass, get a steal, I'm a new bitch nigga.
Time shit right there. J.D. Walker slipping away with, you know what I'm saying, my brother's Bad Black on the hook, man. It's definitely a classic. You know what I'm saying? Definitely classic. Well, we're going to hit up J.D. right now and see what's good with the Chicago icon himself.
Yeah.
J.D. Walker, how you doing, my brother?
What's going on, Scott?
Man, first of all, it's an honor to have you on the show, man. I was just explaining to the people earlier the impact that you had on the city of Chicago as far as the music goes, man. How you doing, man?
Shit, chillin', man. You know me, man. Same old shit. Hanging in there.
Well, I know you got a new project you're working on, man, and I can't wait till it drops. Why don't you tell the people a little bit about it?
Oh, man. My first mixtape, Joe. First mixtape. It's a whole bunch of cold shit on there, man. This is my first mixtape. I ain't never dropped one. I just been dropping CDs, singles, tapes, singles, CDs. I ain't dropped a tape in a long time, but that's all I've been dropping, CDs, tapes, singles, EPs, albums. I dropped like two tapes in my lifetime, like one, two, three, like four singles, and one EP, and three albums. And this will, be my first mixtape.
And what's it called?
Ski Mask Way.
Now, I know the meaning behind this, but why don't you tell the people why you calling it the Ski Mask Way?
You know, it reflects back to, you know, this, first of all, this supposed to be a recession or whatever out there, you know, and so, you know what happened when it's supposed to be a recession and it's fucked up outside, motherfuckers supposed to be struggling to survive, but, so niggas going haywire trying to eat, just to eat and stay alive, so Ski Mask Way, I just thought it was the perfect time because I had dropped Career Criminal in like 90, it was like 94, and then I did Bogus Banging, and then I did Fifth City's Own, so after all this time, I just thought it was the perfect time to call it the Ski Mask Way because, you know, the industry changing now. Well, it already changed, but, you know, everybody looking at the game. So I just figured, like, to me, the way I look at the game, from my perspective as an artist, it's time for me to come back in the game full force with the Ski Mask Way. Like, take it. You know what I'm saying? I'm here to take it. You know what I'm saying? That's how I look at the Ski Mask Way. You know, then you see them over with a ski mask, niggas already know what time it is. You know, they got to look like they owe it and get up. And that's how I look at my intro back completely to the scene. I always been in it, going in and out, been in Atlanta, you know, doing a lot. I did a lot of stuff in Atlanta, did a lot of stuff in Rockford, then a lot of stuff in Freeport, you know what I'm saying? I just haven't been back full-fledged in the city of Chicago, in the game, in the city of Chicago. So that's how I'm looking at that. For the city of Chicago, like, I'm back the Ski Mask Way to take what's naturally always been mine. And I don't even look at it like somebody got the slot or nothing, because everybody, all Chicago artists is different and everybody individuals. But in just in case somebody think they do got my slot or just they think they do have a position to where ain't no room for nobody else, I'm coming the Ski Mask Way. They gonna have to get out the way because I'm coming to take it. You know what I'm saying?
Take that shit. Yeah, yeah. Hey, speaking of Chicago, man, we got a Chicago cat right on the line right now. I'm gonna bring him on. Hey, what's up?
What's to it, man? What's up, JD?
Oh, this Wood.
Yeah, this Trey Wood, nigga.
What's up, boy? I know that boy.
Hey, Ski Mask Way, you know I'm down with that type of shit, nigga.
Oh, you know I know Wood, nigga. You know I know.
Yeah. Itchy, me, start sheet, and 1, 2, 3. Open those doors, stairs, let's go to Wood, baby. You know what?
Yeah.
Nigga, we gonna take this shit. You know what I'm saying? Me and that nigga,
yeah.
That's the grandfather of Chicago. Can't no motherfucker take his slot. That's that dude right there. You know what I'm saying? That's who put me in the game right there, man. And I'm riding with him 100%, 200%. You feel me?
Yeah, hey, same here, boy.
You know what it is, Killer Poe Bones, Killer Poe Bones, you know what I'm saying? Hey, JD, you forgot about that CD you dropped with B-Mac and them, man.
That was one of the singles. That was a Quest for Success and Off My Square. That was like a single.
Right.
That was like a single. Hey, but yeah, I've been checking, I don't really be talking much, but you know, I'll be creeping shit, checking you out, man. I like that whole street geek shit, man. That shit, you picked up a whole lot of, you stepped your game up on the lyrics and the flow, and see like you're doing some cold-ass marketing. That marketing approach right there, that street geek shit, that's some catchy shit, man.
Yeah, man. I got the whole Pulaski Road behind me with that shit, man. Them my homies on Pulaski Road, man. You know what I'm saying?
What the name? Who is it?
That's my whole squad on Pulaski Road. So all the foes on Pulaski Road, man.
Oh, okay, okay. That's good. You know your following bigger than niggas really know. It's just about when you,
right.
Just about you getting out, because you know you're a real street nigga. One thing niggas don't know, man, niggas can rap their ass off and niggas could be lyrical as they want, and niggas can be dance good and be lyrical as they want. But one thing about Chicago that makes Chicago stand out is Chicago gonna always be recognized for real niggas. And for real niggas in the game, he gonna get more respect and gonna get more props than anybody else, because throughout them joints and them penitentiaries, real niggas know who out there doing shit. So Treywood, one of them niggas, you know, been there, done that, held his own in there, out there. Niggas know what he's saying. He ain't fronting about that shit. So it's like, real niggas gonna stand up and ride with you just to see whatever you on, man, he on that. Man, that's my man, you know. Just like me, I look at myself the same way. Like, you know what I'm saying? I don't even trip about the whole game of Chicago. I love all the rappers, all the artists. I don't knock none of them because they grind and get that money. Salute to the young niggas, you know what I'm saying, made a lot of noise, you know what I'm saying, opened up the doors and got the limelight on Chicago. The Chief Keith, the King Louis, you know what I'm saying, Lil Reese, Dirk, all them niggas, YP, all them niggas. This nigga, I ain't nothing but love for them niggas, because even though, you know, niggas like us been had the game, them little niggas opened the doors, man, and got the eyes on the motherfucker. And niggas can be mad at them, knock them all they want to. I ain't knocking them, because them niggas was me. I was them niggas, you know what I'm saying? I came that same motherfucking way. And if a motherfucker wasn't liking it, I had the same approach, like, nigga, gun up then, nigga. You know what I'm saying?
Hey, JD, they don't even know we started with. You turned me on to them niggas, Kevin Lewis, Ramsey Lewis, and them kids, man. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, okay. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah.
He was working with Del Hall. He was messing with Tupac and them then. Remember, you used to write for Common Jones, the group he had out. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, man, we got AI history going back too. We get to go up by half these motherfuckers in the game. Only probably you know about Ramsey Lewis. That's the most famous jazz musician in the world today.
Right.
Damn.
Man, JD is a fucking legend, man. That's my homie, JD Walker, man. I represent that nigga to the fullest, Joe.
Yeah,
man, that's love. I'm glad I got back in touch with you, because you know what, Chick? We might have to redo that, go to war, though, because, boy, I swear to God, I had made that shit. That was some shit I had made for me and had let Treywood hear that shit. And Treywood was like, man, Joe, you got to get it to me, man. Get it to me, man. I want that, man.
Yeah, I think we just
lost
Treywood, man. It's called Drop. But there is shit to have him on at the same time as you, because, you know, he, you know what I'm saying, he said you put him in the game, so that's some legendary shit right there.
Yeah. Hey, that it's true. He's all in my man Lil V crib, man. My man Lil V off the Avenue CDA. Every motherfucker know. He a real OG ass nigga off the Avenue, you know what I'm saying? We was getting all the money on Avenue. All of us, we was looking out for all of us. All of us, a little feet crib. We was looking out for all of us. And I was over there. I was over staying with Lil B, and that's why I met Treywood at, and rapping. And he introduced me to him. I was writing on my shit and shit. Trey was like, man, I want to get into that shit. I want to do that shit, man. Woo, woo, woo. Man, write something for me, man. Woo, I can do that shit. I want to do that shit. And that's just how it took off. Well, he's still in it, so that lets you know that he took that shit serious. So, you know, it's always love to know that, you know, that that you inspire. I don't care who it is. If it was just one person, it's always good to know you inspire somebody. Spark something in somebody before they realize they dream and they shoot for it. That shit there, that's some humbling shit, man. And I got love for him for that, because we like, damn, that 20-year nigga, ain't no damn year, we like 20-year niggas, man.
Yeah, and you know what's crazy? You know, I did the Chi-Town Report for the Underground Society magazine, and I interviewed Soundmaster T. Everybody knows him. That cat had one of the first studios up there in the hood, and he said,
yeah,
man, that you were the first cat. I mean, this is out of his mouth. You were the first cat to come there that had the idea to rap fast, like on a slow beat, not like Twister, but with the hi hats and all that shit. And he was like, he was just telling me, he's like, man, how the fuck are we gonna do that? You know, and you can you explain to me, you know, how all that went down?
Well, you know, it's kind of hard to kind of explain, really, though. But you know, I got to mess with Soundmaster T. I had a kind of approach to it, but you know, I just kind of like put my own kind of like little twist to it. But you know, a lot of people claim in the styles and all this and that. I just, you know, as far as the first person, you know what I'm saying? The original sound is a sniper style. My man Lil Chilla, the first one, is really like had the whole, you know, he had the whole idea of, you know, of rapping that way. You know, the whole way of doing it. And by we being in the same hood and rapping together, being around each other all the time, kind of inspired me, you know what I'm saying, to make a couple songs like that. Even though, you know, if you listen to all my albums in the past, I made a couple songs like that, but I really didn't go with the style because that was really what my original style, you know what I'm saying? But it was some cold shit. It was futuristic. A lot of motherfuckers wasn't really up on it at the time. But by me going to Soundmaster T, and he was a, you know, I ain't gonna say young because he's older than me, but he was, you know, he was fresh musically as far as like. He wouldn't mess with a lot of people. He just messed with a couple of people. A lot of people didn't know him. You know, all of us was young, and the underground scene wasn't really, really super hard. So, it's like when I went to him, he was the reason a lot of people like Soundmaster T, crazy about Soundmaster T, because Soundmaster T is like, he got an ear. Not only is he talented, but he got an ear. He like the perfect person. Like a kid can come to him or anybody, even somebody that ain't even in the music, can come to him and just give him an idea and say, man, I need something that's like this, or just make one noise or make one sound or say something. You can just say something. T is just that cold. And you know, I dealt with a lot of people. I've been recording since 80-something, you know what I'm saying? So I deal with a lot of people, but he was the first person that I met, and I felt like, hey, I can't believe this nigga can just. He could, even if you ain't good enough to try to describe how you want it, he good at getting the sound that you got in your head. He can get it perfectly like you want it without you having to go through trying to explain it real good. It's like he just feel you, you know, vibing soul for soul. Like, T, that's T. Ain't nobody more special than T like that, you know. T that cold, he got years of it. So might be a lot of niggas trying to imitate him, but he got years of doing it. You know what I'm saying? He ain't much of a talker. You know what I'm saying? He don't try to overcrowd you with ideas and suggestions or take over your project. He'll sit up in that motherfucker house. Whatever you say, put in there how you want it. He putting it in there. He doing exactly how you want it, man. Much love. Shout out to Soundmaster T, man. Me and him ain't did that in a long time, though, boy. We get back together, man. It's probably going to be, it's going to be an explosion.
Yeah, motherfuckers are waiting on me. They want to hear that shit for real. So, I gonna bring on the brother Six, man. Six wanted to come on and talk to you.
Six, what's Six at? Six,
you there, Six?
Oh, well, what's happening, man? Just over here sitting in a fucking car.
Look at Six, Six sound like he smoking on the best shit anybody ever can have in their life.
Oh, I just got done smoking one too. Yeah.
I can hear it in you.
Out. That's the brother right there, man. That's the homie. But so this ski mask way, man, how close is it to being done, JD?
I ain't gonna lie to you, it's done already though, man. It's been done. I ain't gonna lie to you. It's just I'm almost like a I'm a perfectionist when it comes to this music shit now. And that's to me, it's a blessing and a curse, but it's like when you've been doing it so long and you get to doing it so long to where you critiquing yourself, you listening to everybody else, checking out everybody else, and you critiquing yourself and you try to be a perfectionist. Ain't no innocence in it no more. So it's like, you know, I'm double checking, double writing, you know what I'm saying? But it's like, then had it done, it's just, I don't know exactly what to release, when to release it, and how to release it. And I don't know who all, like right now, ain't nobody on it. That's one thing about me, too. Like, I haven't been, if you check my whole past, I haven't been big on features, you know what I'm saying? And the reason because of that is because even though, you know, I fuck with a lot of niggas, and I'm plugged with a lot of niggas, but music, that's always been my deepest love, and it always been some personal shit to me. And I vibe my best when I'm at law. And I ain't going to lie to you, when I did do songs and feature with people, I always felt, even though a lot of niggas liked my shit, I always felt like I didn't like my shit. All the features I did with people, I didn't like my shit. So, but when I do my song by myself, I love them motherfuckers. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, but I'm not gonna put it out right away though, because you know this is the end of the year. This is the last quarter, so a lot of people might not know, but this is like the industry ain't really good time to drop nothing. This is the time they shut everything down. January, beginning of a new year. New quarter, so I'm thinking around February maybe to drop it. And then at the same time, even though I got it done, it's still a couple more people that I want to feature on here, that I probably make a couple more songs with a couple more people, feature a couple more people, and then put them on there.
Yeah, definitely. Well, I'm gonna bring on my brother Mac J, man. He was talking earlier, you know, he had the single slipping away. You know what I'm saying? And he, you know, he's from Chicago, too. We were talking about Pink House at 9:50 a.m. And you there, Mac J?
Yeah, I'm here. What's good with it? What's going on, JD?
What's up, homie? What's happening?
Man, not much, man. Originally, I'm from, you know, the Kankakee area. You know what I'm saying? And for real, I just want to give you a salute because y'all was, like, the first cats that gave the area that sound, man. You know what I'm saying? Where, when I was coming up, you had the guys that wanted to sound like they was from New York, or you had the guys that wanted to sound like they was from the West Coast or whatever. But when y'all used to drop them tapes, man, it was like a breath of fresh air, because it was like we had our own identity finally, you know what I'm saying? And I always want to salute y'all on that. And I did not know that CO, because I'm probably like one of CO's biggest fans right now, big CO fan, and I did not know he was on that slipping away till I just was looking at the video, and I remember having that tape, man, and I never knew that was him, man, until just recently.
He had the video on the new Slipping Away.
Yeah.
The Career Criminal Slipping Away. Yeah, that's CO in there. That's CO in there, him and Gerard. Yeah. And then he was the first Slipping Away I put out in 93, the single. That's different from the one I did the video to, because once I did that deal with Jammin' G and Raging Bull out of L.A., we redid the song. So C.O. got in that video, and then he went in the studio and did the hook in the background with me. But that first single, Slipping Away, Peach album, Children of the Ghetto, that's my little cousin, he was on there. And then I had a B song on the other side of the tape called Object of a Player, and CO rapping on there with me.
Yeah. And CO be ripping, boy.
Yeah, CO is a mad. He's a mad man. CO a mad man.
Earlier, like, y'all was the cast that was like really, really out there in the streets. Like, you just had brung it up when you was talking to Trey Wood, like, that's one thing about the cats from the shot. 9 times out of 10, if they talking about it on a song, they done that shit. You know what I'm saying? It ain't a whole lot of Hollywood glitz and glamour. You know what I'm saying? The shot real gritty and grimy. You know what I'm saying? So like when cats be hearing y'all, they got to know that y'all representing that shit for real, man. You know what I'm saying? Because I know for a fact I done seen cats and I done seen how they get down and shit. And y'all were some of the realest cats ever to come out from the city, man. Not all that Kanye shit and all that other shit. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
but
yeah.
The street cats always looked up to the psychodramas and the snipers and the J.D. Walkers. And you know what I'm saying? So I always salute the Chi-Town vets, man. You know what I'm saying? Because that's where I'm from, you know?
Hey, that's love, Joe. That's love. It's always love to hear. You know, being in it this long, doing it this long, man, it's always good to hear, like, real true fans, man, because, you know, so much time go past you, you don't really be knowing who the true fans is, and I meet people, I can see it in their face, like, and that's what, believe it or not, I told Scott this a while back, that's what keep me going, man. I run into somebody, and they be like, man, you, Jay, it's like, man, you can see it if he was fake, he be like, man, listen, like, niggas be wanting to, like, you know, not to just be trying to hold a nigga or nothing, but niggas be really wanting to, like, hug you and be like, boy, your shit got me through shit. And I be like, I feel it. And then I feel it, and it keeps me charged, and it keeps me going, man. And believe it or not, that's what a nigga did it for back then, man. Like, me and Scott talked about this the other day. Back then, like, I ain't gonna act like I saved it. I had a vision, and this is what, like, early in my life, this is what I want to do. But it's like I've been rapping for so long, but by me getting kicked out of college and coming to Chicago, you know, I always grew up in Chicago, but I had went to college in Georgia. But every summer, I'm always coming back. I was going to school in Georgia because my father's in the Navy. So every summer, I'm coming back. I'm in the streets. I'm in the ground. My cousin is banging, getting money. So I'm always coming back rapping, breakdancing, all that, everything, whatever was popping, I'm in and I'm doing it. You know what I'm saying? But it's like when I come to Chicago, believe it or not, and really, when you really getting serious, house music was so super popping, and house music was always some Chicago shit. But believe it or not, it was never me. Only way I like it, cause house music, is to go to a party and see the bras dance and really get out. That's what, to me, even to this day, if I hear some house music, it had to be somewhere where I'm seeing girls break it down, get out on the floor. But, you know, it was going on so long that I used to be looking at Tyson. I started looking at, you know, when you really gritty and grimy, you in the street hustling, you running from the police, you know, y'all gang, man, you went toward niggas and shit. You know, by me being, first of all, I start off with poetry or a writer, but by me being serious and getting to the streets and rapping, I used to be like, man, nigga, the streets is eerie and murky and dark. I used to be thinking, man, niggas, real street niggas need street music. And you know, even though I used to bump and listen to Rakim, KRS-One, Kool G Rap, you know, all them other niggas and MC8s and Spice Ones and Ice T's and all from over there. I mean, I liked it, but it wasn't us. You know what I'm saying? It wasn't us. It didn't make me. I listened to their music and respected them for it, but it didn't spark me or motivate me, excite me for the moment that I was in and what I was going through. So I used to be like thinking, man, we need some shit. You know what I'm saying? Especially when you just go ride, you got to ride, go ride down on niggas. You need that shit to get you charged. Like a lot of niggas, like you ask a lot of niggas, like Cole Hard, Neil, the Cole Hard, my cousin, all that shit. You ask them, like, them niggas used to really be getting fucked up and getting out. We ready to go get into it, niggas. Them niggas used to really get fucked up. But see, me, I didn't never get fucked up. I wasn't fucked up off shit. I sip a little gin here and there, you know what I'm saying? I wasn't really a drunk, though. I wasn't really a type of nigga that really drink either. And I, you know what I'm saying? It was like 92, 93, before I started smoking on a little weed. I wasn't even a weed head or nothing like. So, nigga, I wasn't. You can ask Carl. I used to be the only, like, that's the reason why they gave me the deck. I used to run it for all the niggas, but I used to be clear-headed. We getting into it. Nigga, I got to check out everything. I got to see everything. I got to be on my square. Nigga, I'm not leaning or nothing.
I'm out here, right. Nigga. This a do or die. Ain't nobody finna creep on me and get me. Nigga, I swear to God, I stepped out the house every day. Look around both corners like I was motherfucker in the Marines or something. Every day and every night. Grandmama and them used to be like, boy, what you doing? Boy, you gotta look both ways. Boy, these niggas could be in the alley, in the gangway, laying next to that car right there, parked, or in them bushes, right? Boy, that's how serious our shit was. So it's like, I needed that music. So we didn't have it. Had to make it. So, nigga, and it took off real ugly. It took off real. Once I stopped making shit, I inspired a whole lot of more niggas. And majority of niggas I inspire to, you know, niggas was semi-rapping, but I inspired niggas to go make their songs and go record. You know what I'm saying? The majority of niggas I inspired was around me. My best friend, Lil Chilla Sniper, he from my same hood. He right around me. You know what I'm saying? He get on his shit. My cousin Cole, he was already with me around me every motherfucking day. He got to get up with Shorty Capone with Raw Dough Records and got to fucking with Wild Style and Kilo. He went and kicked over there with Never Nim and got to do his shit. My little cousin Peach, he was always fucking with CO because CO taught him how to drive and they was already going to Soundmaster TV before me making Mickey mediocre shit. So, but when them niggas see me press my, call this niggas and press my shit and order my shit, and them niggas see a big ass box with 3,000 cassettes came with my picture on it and the hoodie that say West Side, man, the whole Chicago was going, the Chicago went crazy. Then niggas like, oh my God, that's when niggas like, man, I'm gonna make me some shit. I can truly say I made niggas fuck just semi rap. I made niggas take this shit serious. Like, man, go do it. Then took it to all the radio stations, took it to all the record stores, George, Barney, Max. Every record store where I took them personally to myself and gave them motherfuckers to the motherfuckers on consignments. Took it to, at that time, 9:50 a.m. They shit was, like you said, Pink House First Lady. All them was there. I took it to them personally myself. And it was like a Tuesday, Wednesday night. They used to play the hit of the missing shit. And they told me they was going to play it one night. They played it. People called in, got the love, and that slipping away. They got put me in regular rotation 8 times a day. That shit started blowing up. But, man, you know what I'm saying? But anyway, but, man, yeah, that's what made me go and do it because we needed our own music. We needed our own sound. And once I seen it take off, man, it was like a fiend. It's like a fiend on dope or a fiend on crack, man. Once a motherfucker, only the motherfucker sprung. Once I seen it take off, I said, oh, shit. And then the biggest part about it, when you a shorty and you in the streets, and gangbang, you want to impress. You want to impress street niggas and real niggas you look up to. Man, when I started talking, rapping in the gun show, all them street niggas and all them niggas getting money, them niggas used to be like, yo, we bumping your shit, nigga. I swear to God, Joe, house music, as far, you know, it always was around in Chicago because that's some Chicago shit. But, boy, I swear to God, that shit faded so fast. Niggas wasn't bumping that shit. You see niggas riding through coming in them cars bumping that street shit, and it was our shit, and it was real shit because niggas like, that's, boy, them niggas not only, man, like I said, like I told Trey, well, the shit that made it sell was like, you know, it ain't no secret. And every motherfucker know. You know what I'm saying? I'm unknown. I grew up that motherfucker with my cousin and money that way. Our chief, our king was Willie. You know what I'm saying? My husband, baby, Ty, all them. We was, that's how we grew up. We was in this shit. So it's like, we was like the main mob in the streets on the west side of Chicago, like really on shit, handling business. So it's like, when a motherfucker drop shit, every nigga in the streets knew, them niggas is doing that shit. Dude, fuck with them niggas. They ride together. And dude, them is doing that shit. You heard that shit, dude? And I used to drop singles all the time before I dropped Slipping Away out, but it used to be just for the niggas to ride and bump it. Like, yo, check out this case of shit. Get all the fellas, bump this shit. So they got shit to go get. I had the World Undivided. I had Chicago Big Man. I had a song called, boy, y'all would be geeked up to hear something. I had a song called Chief of the Dope Gang. Chief of the Dope Gang. Slanging the cocaine. I'm checking ears while my homeboys bang. Yo, that kind of shit, yo. Niggas used to bump that shit. I'm talking about, this was just, I ran into niggas who tell me they got that. Now, them songs I had before I was pressing up, I was just making copies. I ran into niggas who tell me they got that shit. I be wanting that shit because I don't even know where that shit at no more. Because I just made it for them niggas. I just made it just for niggas to go get excited and ride to and have something to bump.
Right.
Hey, tell them the story, man, about when you brought Murder Dog to the city of Chicago. This is long before I even got Murder Dog. I didn't even know what the fuck Murder Dog was.
Oh, you went with Murder Dog then?
No, man, you brought him in 95. I didn't get with Murder. I just started reading Murder Dog in 96. I didn't get with him until 97. So you was on that shit way before I was.
Okay, I'm trying to think. Now you got me thinking. Now you got me really thinking.
You brought Black Dog in.
Yeah, but I'm just trying to think when I first. Oh, I already know. I know now. I was either. It was. It had to be two or three stores. It had to be George's, Barney's, or Max. George's, Barney's, or Max. I went in somebody's record store. I'd be taking up my CDs on consignment and stuff. And one of them had a Murder Dog magazine. And I bought it, went through it, and checked it out. Automatically fell in love with it. Reason I fell in love with it, I've never seen a gangster magazine like that ever in my life. I never seen a gangster magazine like that ever. The niggas in there, you see them. It was mostly all West Coast niggas, man. But you see them niggas in there. Them niggas in there on the streets, in their hood, with their masks on, with their guns and shit. I'm like, God damn, what kind of shit is this? Listen, I end up going through the credits and all the shit in the magazine, and end up calling them up and saying, listen, I wish Black Dog was on the phone because he'll tell you himself first. I wasn't even talking about being in it. When I called him up, I said, listen, man. I said, this magazine is so exciting. I said, I got a whole bunch of niggas in the streets reading this shit. I said, you know what you should do? Send me a whole bunch of copies of this Murder Dog magazine and let me sell them myself. Black Dog Bone gave me, Black Dog Bone told me, okay, I'm going to see. He sent me a couple boxes out. He told me, I'm going to give it to you for like either 50 cents or, I want to say, how much was it at the time?
Shit, it was like a couple bucks.
Yeah, whatever it was, he gave me a lot of room to make money. He was like, I'm going to get you like 50 or 75 cents a magazine. Send me a whole box. I sold him up, call him up again. Man, I need some more. Black Dog Bone seen me selling his magazines. And the man called me one day, telling me to come to Chicago. He wanted to come to Chicago and check the scene out and do some things. And I told him, listen, man, you come to Chicago, man, I've got you. Me and my man CD, I had a partner. At that time, I had a record company called Forever High Records. When I dropped my first Slipping Away, I had my own label called Forever High Records. And CD, my partner, and I told Black Dog, when you come in here, we got you. He came here, we got him, put him up in the room, and then took him around and meet everybody. Took him around to meet the dude or die. Took him around to meet Psychodrama there. We took him to meet children there together. We just took him around everywhere, all the ones he wanted to meet and all the ones he wanted to interview with, man, and hung out with him, man, and showed him a good time, man, embraced him and shit. And I loved it, that kind of shit. That was, you know what, that was real shit, though, because one thing, and I seen about, this what made me leave Chicago, because I see a lot of people still don't be doing this. And it's like, my whole objective in this rap shit was to push Chicago on, man. And I ain't gonna lie to you, I never really got to that point or got the credibility or got the money to get a blister to push Chicago on. But every chance I got where I could have did that, I did that shit. When I was in and out of town, moving around different cities, and I ran into niggas with money, like, man, you shady monkey, you from Chicago. Man, you know I can't touch a dude and them dude. You guys do it that, you guys cruising there. I call them up, man, I got some man with some money, man, want to book y'all. How much y'all want? Woo, woo, woo. Dude and them will come in there and do the show. Man, JD, do that, man, good look at that, woo, woo. Man, but you know what I'm saying? Niggas didn't do that for me, though. You know what I'm saying? When niggas was making noise and getting on, niggas didn't do that for me, though. But I still did that shit because it was bigger than me. It was bigger than them. They didn't even know it. I was like, I used to be getting mad because motherfucker wasn't playing me that way. But I used to be saying, you know, like, a nigga, just because a nigga don't do it for me, one thing I do know is niggas like Black Dog Bone and Murder Dog Magazine, and this niggas like H.E.A. Brown, H.E.A., my man, H.E.A. Brown in Madison, Wisconsin, who had all the money through the big-ass concerts and shit, who knew. It's just those real motherfuckers who know, and they gonna pass the shit on. Real, recognize real. Them niggas gonna tell niggas, man, I ain't even know them niggas till JD put me up on them niggas. Man, I ain't even know them niggas. I ain't even fuck them niggas to do this. So the artists might blow up and get big headed and play and act like they forgot. Well, real motherfuckers don't forget, though.
Yeah.
And that's why I did that shit, you know what I'm saying? It was about to put the city on, man. Because once the limelight on the city, once the limelight on the city, the Knicks can come out and do what they want to. That's the reason why I say much love to, you know what I'm saying, to Chief Keith and all the little young ones, little Dirk and all them, man, doing their little thing, because just to put the light on the city, you know, the niggas get their shit together and make some real good-ass music, they got opportunities now, man. You motherfuckers that know, listen, man, this is real shit here, man. Not only was Chicago ugly banging, the whole Midwest was ugly. You know, Chicago always had a trend, but when Chicago banging hard like it was in the 90s, that means Rockford banging. That means Kankakee banging. That means Waukegan banging. That means Indiana going crazy. That means the whole, because that's just how it goes. This shit trickles down like that. So it's like, not only was all that shit banging, going on, it's like, motherfuckers, record companies, labels, boy, they was not thinking about coming to no motherfucker Chicago. You crazy as hell. They read about that shit. They heard about that shit. They was not thinking about, I don't give a fuck what the fuck, who was called. I remember the radio station told me, listen, Rena, I'm going to tell you, when I gave Slipping Away, nigga, I had some super hard shit, man. At that time, it was, Jay Allen was the program director. Jay Allen was the program director then, too. And Ferris Thomas, all of them, though, they told me, man, listen, you got to get us some nice music to play, man. We cannot play that street. And that's another reason. And I'm glad it led to this, because that's another reason why I'm ski mask way. I'm coming back to Chicago and coming back to the streets, because I respect the fact that Chicago got the limelight. Them young niggas opened the doors up, and now they paying attention, because I really all that time feel like I didn't really get my just due, because they wasn't trying to promote and push it. When I hear the shit they play now, man, I be saying, man, they made me give them my nice shit. Slipping Away was nice, man. But yeah, I did it, man. I bit the bullet. There's a lot of niggas afraid to do it, but I bit the bullet. And I did it because, like I said, it's about setting trends, man, and kicking down doors, man, and doing things that, you know, that might not be popular at the time. So I know a lot of niggas like, man, I ain't cleaning my shit up, nigga. I'm underground gutter gangster, man. Fuck them. I respect that and all that shit, but, man, fuck that. I got on the radio station, and I got a regular rotation. One thing about a real nigga, man, don't nothing change a real nigga's ideas in his heart. Just because I made moves like that, it's not a nigga out here in the world that could tell me I ain't no real nigga. I don't give a fuck because I made my music nice. I even got some songs about, I just, on my mix, I got a song called Murder for Her, talking about a nigga killing for a bitch. And I made a song about that, but I don't care how nobody view that kind of shit, because when they back down to it, when they bring the cameras and the documentaries through my neighborhood and get to interview with niggas about me, everybody gonna say the same shit. Dude was on that shit. Dude's about that shit. That's that dude. Quit fucking playing. Oh, they can go into joints, and the niggas gonna say the same thing. Like, oh yeah, yeah. That nigga, yeah. We were shooting at him. Well, that nigga was shooting at us, man. You know what I'm saying? It's probably gonna be niggas saying, "Fuck that nigga too, man." You know what I'm saying?
Right.
You know? That's the real shit, though.
I'm about to say, you sure know what to say. You sure know what to say.
And it's just real, though. You know what I'm saying? It's just, all that is just the real truth, man. I got too much shit to say. I got albums and albums she wrote. And like I said, that's what made me come back to the game, man. Just because I say, man, they playing the shit out here on the radio now, man. I say, you know what? This times have really changed. They converted and got these doors over in Chicago, finally getting some. So now it's like, I really feel like, man, think about, man, if they would have played Bogus Banging, Killer Po-Po's, Niggas What You Own. You know, imagine if they would have played some of my hardest shit. Nigga, it wouldn't have been a nigga more bigger. It wouldn't have been a nigga more bigger.
Right.
Hey, JD. JD,
huh?
Introduce your song, man.
Which?
Enemies. Man, tell other people about that, so you know that's my favorite.
Enemies, man. That's, you know what, man. It's so crazy how enemies. I love that. Reading, I'm gonna tell you, reading, I love that motherfucker though, cause it's some shit I ain't never did before, man. And it's a producer named Seneca. Niggas might know him. Seneca did that track for
Yo Gotti, Men Lie, Women Lie, Money Don't Lie. He did that track. He's from Freeport, but he's out of the St. Louis area, and I went up there and met him. Good guy, good young guy. Puff Daddy type nigga. He got some cold-ass track, a lot of cold-ass production and shit, but I had went to him to make some, and he had made that track. And he had a lot of people he was messing with of his own out the St. Louis area. And when I went to him, he was like, what kind of shit you want? I was like, man, I could damn near go with anything, man. Just let me check something out. And he pulled that track out. He's like, man, I'm going to let you check this track out because a majority of the people I mess with and a lot of majority of the people I be fucking with, for some reason, everybody said they can't do nothing with this track. And he put that motherfucker on. And I said, oh, what? They said they can't do shit with this one? You can ask that nigga, man. I wrote that motherfucker in like 30 minutes, man.
That shit is tailor-made for you.
I wrote that motherfucker 30. I'm like, this is not only is this a nigga, not only am I the bogus banger, the adrenaline rushing ass, you know, that's my whole MO is banging and high energy. And I heard that shit and I'm like, but I had to just instead of going in it the regular way, I was thinking like, hey, they trying to commercialize this a little bit. So I looked at enemies almost like an anthem. Like whether you're playing football, basketball, boxing, fighting or whatever, I want this to be your introduction and this the shit to get you get warmed up before you finna go and do this shit. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, definitely.
And that's the reason I wrote it.
You know, but I'm gonna play enemies, man, and hold the line, man. I'll bring you up, I'll bring Trey Wood on, man. You guys can chop it up a little bit before we go.
Then I gotta tell y'all about my little cousin Dreezy. I know you interviewed him one time, but
I think it was on the first or second show. Yeah, how's she doing?
Yeah, man, she ugly, Joe. You already know, Scott. She ugly.
Yeah, she got. I'll tell you what, man. For a female,
coldest female in the game, hands down. 17, 18, coldest female.
I'm not too much into females, but she definitely got them spits. So, you know, we definitely got to give her props. But here's enemies right here, J.D. Walker. Enemies, man. That's a classic. Everybody want to get at J.D. Walker, make sure to go to Twitter, at J.D. Walker Chicago. You know what I'm saying? Also, make sure to go to Facebook. Bring J.D. back on real quick. What's the Facebook, J.D.?
Man, J.D. Walker, Chicago.
J.D. Walker, Chicago. And, of course, you know what I'm saying, got to hit up your cousin Dreezy. You said she's only, what, 18, 19 years old?
18.
Okay, at Dreezy on Twitter.
Yeah, Dreezy.
Dreezy.
All on YouTube, man. But damn, Scott, man, hey, boy, that motherfucker, I ain't heard that motherfucker enemies in a long time. That motherfucker sound good, man.
I'm telling you, that's the shit right there.
I ain't heard that motherfucker in a long time.
Yeah, that's the shit right there, man.
That motherfucker gangster. Them niggas don't want none of that shit. That boy, I need to send that shit to Floyd Mayweather.
Shit, I want a whole album of that shit. What are you talking about, man? When I put out that compilation, man, I knew, man. I was like, man, I got to get a JD for this. You know what I'm saying? You were one of the first cats I reached out to, man. We're going to re-release it, man, eventually. You know the situation. But we got it back. It's in the hands of Underground Society, the whole compilation. You know, so it's a victory for us, man. But you know, before we go, man, you know what I'm saying, is there anything you want to tell the fans, anything you want to say to the people?
Oh, man. I bet you they probably say, this nigga talk so much, I probably didn't say it every day, man. But,
you're one of my favorite people to interview. I ain't got to ask you very many questions.
Yeah, I kind of always have something to say, though, man. But anyway, though, man, one thing I can say, man, free baby Ty, man. My cousin been locked up almost 20 years, man. Real nigga, man. Taught a motherfucker down a whole lot of shit, man. Reason I look at shit and see shit the way I see because of him, man. And freed my little cousin P Child, man, and gave him 50 years, man, chilling at the ghetto, man. That's my little cousin, my little protege, man. To me, he's one of the hardest, coldest street rappers in the city, hands down. Niggas, the niggas that know and niggas that don't know need to find out. But anyway, besides that, man, let's say, you know, thank you really, Scott, though, because I'm gonna tell you like this, man. I run into a lot of people talk to me, man, and want to know a lot of shit. But one thing I can truly say, Scott, you're a real motherfucker, though, man. You have been there. From the minute you introduced me to you, you really is a supporter of the Shy, period. Especially real street niggas and the underground shit. You know what I'm saying? Everybody already that do know you, know you ain't too much a fan on the mainstream, lane street type niggas, man. But the real underground niggas that been representing Shy, put it on, you that's what you here for. And you the motherfucker gotta give you all the props in the world, and me personally, cause even when I don't even be having my mind straight, you always reach out, check me out, hit me on Facebook and say, what's up, how you doing? So you got a lot of love for me, and this is one of the major stepping stones for me. Is this interview and the UG Society, man. Fuck the Illuminati, nigga. We screaming that to the top, man. Fuck all the niggas, that lame-ass shit. Whatever that shit is, whatever that shit means, we don't give a fuck. You know what I'm saying? We on some real shit, uplifting the city, uplifting the Midwest, and these underground true gangsta-ass niggas who really come from this shit. And I come from this shit because that's what we wanted to do. Came from this shit because that's where we came from, man. Nigga became a product of the environment, motherfucker adapted and adapted to the environment, and a lot of real motherfuckers didn't make it, man, but the real niggas that still here that did make it, man, 21 gun salute, man, and like you said, you had my man Trey Wood on the phone, man, that's a super real motherfucker out there, though, boy. Motherfucker don't eat motherfucking dope, man. Hey, soon I get to go next week, come to the city. That's one of the first motherfuckers I'm getting up with, not just because, you know what I'm saying, he working on his album. I support that too, though, but because I don't care where a motherfucker go or what a motherfucker get into, man. Nigga, Trey Wood with you, man. The motherfucker with you, man. Real street nigga. My man Don Vici, man, too, man. That's another thing. My man Don Vici, real nigga, man. His artist, Imani Kadeem, man. And new hot nigga coming up, man. Check that out. And Young Hap, too, man. Shout out to Young Hap, man. Trey Wood, Street Geeks. You know what I'm saying? J.D. Walk, Career Criminals, Bogus Banging, Power Moves, man. You know what I'm saying? 5090 Music, UG Society, a man, six man. Hold some of that down for me, whatever you spoke it up, man, because you couldn't even talk right, man. We call that killer, man. You know. But anyway, that's all I got for you, though, Scott. But man, I'm always here for you. Want to interview me, part two, part three, part four. I'm always going to be willing to give you a side to what I think and how I see shit. And then plus, Your man, you just has nothing. Your man, you just had on the line, man, from KKC, man. I really respect that, man. He came on here.
Yeah,
a real motherfucker.
Yeah,
he came on as a real motherfucker and showed me some love and told me I helped inspire him, man. That's humbling right there, man. And it's real cats like him. That's the reason I'm coming back to Ski Mask Way, Joe.
Well, I'll tell you what, man, if you could stick around for about 10 minutes, man, I got Trey Wood back on the line, man. I'm bringing the brother right back on right now.
Okay.
I'm going to let the two of you guys just chop it up, Trey Wood.
That is.
Yeah.
Hey, nigga, you know what it is? They don't know about that itchy go to war shit, but P-Child, me, I remember we rocked out your release party, man, all that shit. P-Child, we got that rushing and clicking. They ain't heard none of that shit. That walk like a ball, that Wrecking Crew shit. You know what I'm saying?
Woo!
Right, they ain't never heard none of that Wrecking Crew shit that I had. It's some whole new movement with Trey Wood. See, like my homie V said, I move with the generations, man. You know what I'm saying? I've been in this shit way back then. I'm with this shit now. You know what I'm saying? So all these new cats, I salute them to the fullest, Joe. But, man, they better watch out for me, Joe, because I'm finna, Joe, I'm ugly with this shit. Hey, motherfucker, no, I can't. Look, what they don't know, Trey Wood is hood, man. I go to everybody's hood, not mine. Man, Ty, like he said, free my nigga, baby Ty. I love that nigga. That, you know what I'm saying? Like, JD, I'm original gang chief, Joe. Like he said, Joe, I'm original motherfucking gang chief. I'm an OG in this shit. So all them old niggas he talking about, all of them I've been around. Wooly, Bo, Joe, Neil, Jay, KT, every motherfucker here we talking about, they know me, Joe. You know what I'm saying? I'm in it. Larry Hoover, every motherfucker. Shorty Freeman. I went to Freeman from all that shit. Every motherfucker know me, Joe. So they know what it is with me, Joe. And JD, we got to do some shit ASAP. When you get here, I told you, hit my line, nigga. You know, it's forever I. Whatever it is, I'm career criminal. I'm all that shit. You know what it is. You know what it is, nigga. So
I
already know. You know what I'm saying? Free my man, P-Child. Hell yeah. Who banging? Who banging you, nigga? You know what I'm saying? All that shit. Snipers. All that shit. And like you said, dude, that man, them niggas, man, know what it is. They come off my motherfucking block. Grinshaw and Central Park, Joe. You know what I'm saying? Every motherfucker know about me, Joe. So all that phony ass shit, they can tuck their tails and go hide. When me and JD finna hit the streets again, it's been a ripple, Joe.
Straight up, tell you, I can't wait. Hey, tell you, I'm glad. Hey, ain't no, I've been on two checking it. And that sound click, boy, you just stepped through.
Hey.
And that's what's cold, man. That's you grow from that shit,
hey,
man.
Hey, I see your motherfucking bars. It's been one. When I come on, my son of a bomb, better get a missile, a gristle. I'm smoking the blunt. No, it said, I'm so jacked. You sweat nuts on that shit. I'm like, man, this, what the fuck I got to say behind this shit, man? You know what I'm saying? This is me. This went nuts to my. He like the old man, the dog in my city. Hey, man, dude, he got some cold shit with me. Hey, that's the first nigga I got paid for a show. He took me to the UIC, Joe. It got me paid. My homies was mad because they couldn't do the show with me. Crisis in school. You don't remember that shit, JD?
Yeah.
They was mad.
But them niggas was cold, though, Trey Wood, boy.
They was cold, Joe. Rest in peace, my homies, they cold. That's why I say, that Wrecking Crew album, JD, they don't even know nothing about that. I'm going to say, Scott, that Wrecking Crew album, Joe. You know what I'm saying? With P-Child on there and all that
and
shit.
Put that shit on CDLady.com, too, Joe.
Yeah,
put that shit. Listen, one thing about underground Chicago, that don't
right.
give a fuck. Well, how much years go past? It never gets old, man. Niggas want to hear
right.
that shit, Joe. Just put
that shit.
Classic, with,
man.
Throw that shit in the mix of some of your shit. Throw that shit to CD baby. Throw that shit to whoever throwing need a mixtape, need a song from you. Throw them that
man,
shit.
Scott,
Chicago
style
is gonna never get old.
Hey, Scott's in the management, man.
Hey, ain't nothing wrong with that.
Scott,
serious, man. Scott dead serious,
man.
Man,
Scott finna manage me, man. I'm telling you, man. I'm finna fuck with Scott, man. That's my man, Joe.
Man, much
hey,
love
Scott,
for Scott,
man.
I know what to do. CO, you know, definitely CO. But I tell you what we're going to do. Every issue of the magazine, we're going to have a mixtape. You know what I'm saying? So anytime you want to throw tracks, you know what I'm saying, throw them our way because we're going to give away a free mixtape you know, to anybody that downloads the magazine, every fucking issue. So.
Hey, JD, I want to say to you, nigga. 2212, nigga, VL.
Alamine, man.
You feel me?
Alamine, all day long.
I can't wait to see you. Hey, Winston, you remember my girl, Witt? She say, what's up, JD? You know her sister, Crystal. Chrissy, you remember Chrissy and Witt, my girls?
Yeah. You still with Witt right now?
Oh, well, Witt, she won't listen. Witt, say something to JD. Yeah,
JD on the radio.
What's up, JD?
What's up, that girl? Hey, you talking about ride or die, Bonnie, and class? Y'all need to do the Bonnie class, man.
You talking about ride or die, Bonnie, and class.
Yeah.
Y'all? 14 years, still standing strong.
And it's that's deep there, though, Joe. I ain't going to lie to you. That's super duper deep.
Yeah, that's deep.
Super duper deep. That's good, man. That's real
doing
shit.
Your thing.
Yep. Man, I can't quit this shit, man. Chicago, because I ain't gonna lie to you. One, I love Chicago. Reason I love Chicago. Chicago been calling me for years. Nigga been saying, man, where you at? Man, come back here, man. Even when I was in Atlanta, man, fuck down there, man. Come down here.
I know what you want me in the
city. Niggas been wanting me in the city, and I ain't gonna lie to you. This the truth. I left, the last time I had an apartment and I lived in the city was 2001 when B-Mac got killed. I left.
Exactly.
That was my nigga. That's another thing, B-Mac. That was my nigga.
Yep.
And my partner to
nigga.
Tell me, OL Outlaw, boy, and I
yep.
swear to God,
Avenue
before
Outlaws,
then,
baby. Hey, Scott, yeah, that's what song
God,
got that shut down. When I say I was Avenue Outlaws, that's what I was talking about, Scott.
Yeah. And the year before that, my cousin Dre got killed in 2000. It's like right
yep.
at that time was so much on my mind. I said I had to need to get a whole new environment. I came down here, so it's gonna be 2013. It's actually gonna be like 12 years, man. I haven't been living in Chicago, even though I've been coming back and forth doing my thing. But I'm here to tell motherfuckers. Boy, I'm coming back to Chicago, and niggas better look out because, nigga, I've already hollered at Ferris and a whole lot, a couple more different motherfuckers, DJ Trey Moneyway, my man DJ Mo Doe. Boy, I'm finna be at every party, every show, every open mic, wherever they getting down, I'm in that bitch. And niggas better watch the fuck out. Nigga, I'm gonna act like I'm 15 around that motherfucker.
Yes, sir. I'm gonna be right with you, nigga.
I ain't stopping no shit, nigga. Videos all the time, shows all the time. They gonna say this whole motherfucker came back. They gonna get tired of me. They gonna get tired. They gonna have to knock me the fuck off. What? That's what I'm gonna be this way.
Ain't no knocking us off, nigga. We can't be knocked off, nigga.
Shit. I'm telling you some real. Hey, I talked to little V Trey when you heard. He told you he's gonna move to Florida.
Nigga, that's my nigga, Vincent Tati. I got clothes finna come out with him. I'm talking about Vincent Tati rims, all that shit, man. Yeah, he finna move to Florida. I know that's my homie. Vincent Maurice Tati, man. That's my man. You know what it is with me and Lil V, Joe.
Yeah, V, man. V looked out for my V, man. V with the L.A. together, man. Me and V with the L.A.
Yep, exactly.
Every record label. Me and Lil V, listen on the real, Scott. Me and Lil V took me, man. My man, McKelly Jamison. Kelly Jameson
yep.
was the first R&B artist signed the Priority Records when Matt Key and them was
exactly.
over there. And he award writer. He wrote for Bad Boy. He award-winning writer, man. He wrote like 9 songs on Faith Evans' greatest album. But anyway,
yep.
he had some shit in L.A., some connections, and told us to come out there. My man, Lil V
was
getting all the money.
Big West, Big West. Y'all went to see Big West.
Yeah. And he took us out there, man. Listen. Man, Kelly took us to every record label, Priority, Virgin, nigga. I snapped at every record label, nigga. Every record label. I'm talking about every one of them in L.A. we went to. I snapped. They wanted to sign. Only reason they motherfucker didn't, because Kelly was around there acting like I was his artist, and they had just gave
yep.
Kelly, they had just gave Kelly $100,000 check to do a song with R. Kelly, and he didn't even do the song.
Yep.
He didn't even do the song
he
with R. Kelly.
It.
And he was like, why you trying to bring somebody else to us and you didn't even spend the money to do the song with R. Kelly like we want you to, and that's the only reason I ain't getting no deal while I was up there, man.
Yep, that's when I got over Kevin Lewis, remember after that shit.
And that's the most shit. Kevin Lewis, Carmen Jones, Kevin Lewis, like I said, Kevin Lewis never had a $1 million record deal with
with
what label that was?
Sony.
Yeah, it was Sony. It was Sony. It was Sam Sapp and Mia Huggins was running Sony Records. They flew all the way to Chicago and to watch Carmen Jones perform, nigga, and I performed right there.
Yep.
With Carmen Jones, wrote some of their lyrics. Carmen Jones was a
yep.
sick
hey,
girl
remember,
group.
Hey, JD, remember they stole V-Con, nigga? I went and got V-Con and after watching all projects, nigga, with no pistol, remember?
Straight up.
Remember the dude? I ran up to all them niggas and act like I had a gun on me. Remember, man?
Yeah. Use your mouth like a pistol.
Yeah, I started shooting like I had a gun with my mouth, didn't I?
And them niggas turned that motherfucker car over.
So did.
Hell yeah. Trey with a motherfucker fool, though. It ain't even no secret. Trey with a motherfucker fool. Nigga better be cool with Trey Wood. Trey Wood, a fool. I'm talking about born fool.
Hey, listen.
Don't get the street geeks twisted.
Now, we nerds from the curb, nigga. You know what I'm saying? We got this rap shit on lock. We got this squeeze shit on lock. We got the book shit on lock. We got all that shit on lock, man. And like he said, 21 guns for the year. We little Tupac up here, nigga. You know what I'm saying?
Straight up.
And I want to give a shout out, man, to my man who was on there, man, JT, man. I love the West Coast, man. I fuck with them. R.I.P. Mac Dre, man. Rump Room, man. E-42 Short. I hope you play that Too Short joint I did, that Blow the Whistle, man. That remix shit. I smashed on that shit. I hope Short hear that shit, man. You know what I'm saying?
Hey, listen, that's one thing. My computer shit hooked up. I didn't get a chance to hear that, but I'm glad you mentioned that West Coast shit. But listen, and then you mentioned Too Short. Listen, Sky, I don't know if I told you this before. Nigga, I know I told Lil V. I don't know if Lil V told you, Trey Wood, but when I was in Atlanta, nigga, I got a cousin. I found out he was my cousin, a nigga named Murder. I don't know if you know Murder, Trey Wood. Murder used to be part of OCU, the Organized Crime Unit, GDs out south.
Right.
He was like one of the first rap groups anyway. I didn't find he... My cousin, he used to be always plugged with Too Short and them all the time. He plugged me with Too Short. Too Short.
That's Color Me. Color Me with Too Short, right?
Yeah.
Color One be with Short.
But they brought me to Too Short, brought me to his crib, man. And when Too Short brought me to his crib, Joe, Too Short said, I told him I could rap. I gave my bogus banging CD. Too Short sat down in his base of his crib and listened to every song back to back. And he was like, man, Joe, you kind of cold, Joe. He's like, man, I got a studio right there. He said, go get the engineer. He brought his young engineer in there and put up like 20 tracks up from Scarface producer. He put up some Lil Jon. He said, pick one up. Nigga, I picked one of them motherfuckers, went straight in the booth and blazed that motherfucker. Too Short is my nigga. You ever interview Too Short or run into Too Short? And talk to him, ask that nigga Too Short about me and about me being in his studio. Ask him about
hey,
me.
Too Short
told me if I
ever
come to Atlanta, I got somewhere to stay. He told me that.
Man, listen, you down there with my little brother now, man. You official, nigga. Can't no motherfucker tell me about J.D. Walker, man. You official, man. You one of the... Hey, Joe, if you don't got 5 stars, I recommend you have 5, nigga, because you one of them niggas. You feel me?
Hey,
and I already know you come from a. Hey, you ain't going to know I'm from a nigga.
You know what? I hated I couldn't make it either, boy. Motherfucker, everybody hit me on the phone and told me about that. But I'm going to tell you some shit. I'm going to tell you, a lot of niggas always tell me that shit about the stars, about the juice and shit. But I'm going to tell you the good thing about being a real nigga from Chicago, man. Boy, so many niggas got love and respect for me, boy. My juice don't even matter.
Don't need no stars.
Ain't going to let nothing happen to me, boy. Niggas is not finna go forward, boy. Niggas is not listen, from the joints all the way to the streets, niggas is not going, boy. It's too. Nigga, first of all, I got little brother. I got crazy ass homies in Fifth City. I got crazy ass cousins in Fifth City. Nigga, I got motherfuckers. I got from every branch to BD. The niggas
hey.
In the village. Niggas, them 250 niggas yep. in the village.
Like,
it's
you
in the
like,
village.
You
niggas
like,
gotta
like,
ride when a nigga ain't around, man.
Hey, JD, you just like me, man. And shout out to my homie, you see it. I just fucked up our session, man. No sleep was just going to be in this booth with me, man. You know what I'm saying? Them my little niggas. All the little niggas up in Chicago, they fuck with Trey Wood heavy, Joe. All these newcomers up in rappers, because my little cousin Thrax, he a beast, Joe. You know what I'm saying? I can't wait till a motherfucker hear about. That's why I wish Scott had that In the Shot. We you know what I'm saying? That In the Shot song I just did, man, produced by my man Tommy Skillfinger. JD, I got some peoples, Joe. Like Rock them, all them niggas, Gorilla Zone them, when I hit ATL, them niggas cuffed me, Joe. And JD, I'm just like you, Joe. When I go to them cities, them OG niggas know me. Gang, 40 Glock, all them niggas. When I go to Cali, wherever I go, JD, I make sure I represent Chi-Town, Joe. You know what I'm saying? I'm one of them West Side Hill of the niggas, so motherfucker gonna know me, Joe. You know, I ain't let it. Yeah.
You know, local joker. You ain't no local joker. I know, Trey, well, you know, you ain't got to tell me, boy.
Already know.
Hey, listen. Hey, I'm gonna be like I said, man, on the seventh. I wasn't gonna come up here this past week, but I got court in Rockford on the 6th. After that court date, next day I'm coming to Chicago and I'm coming to plant my feet in this dead sea. As I already talked to all
and
my people.
And I'm gonna get your ass sprayed in the booth, nigga.
Man, it's on. I swear to God, niggas, the shots, they going to go crazy. Like I said, it's going to be 12 years, man. Chicago haven't witnessed or seen me at parties, at concerts, at shows, none of that shit. It's going to be
JD,
I'm brand new again, man.
Right. Them niggas don't even remember Fox and Hound Studios. Remember, you took me there, Joe. You feel me?
Uh-huh.
Well, Kanye and them had the Brad and all them motherfuckers there.
Yep.
Joe, I remember all that shit. I tell my fuck JD put me in the game, man, and Soundmaster T did my whole motherfucking first EP called Goddamn Self-Made Entrepreneurs, man. You know what I'm saying? CO the Bad Black, Jarista, JD, all them niggas on that album, man. You know, JD, I don't think you made that Self-Made Entrepreneur. We started on that other shit, that itchy, that Go to War. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, you got to put that.
That Go to War was hard, boy.
Joe, listen. Put that motherfucker on every tape you drop, man. I'm telling you. One thing about a classic. I tell niggas, I had to tell my man, they love this. They love for Rockwell. He in L.A. I had to tell him this. Listen, when you got a classic, man, you got to keep dropping that bitch until the whole world hear it. Don't ever get tired of pushing your shit. That's one thing about these young niggas. They steady dropping newer song, like a nigga drop a song 1 month or 1 week, and then they'll drop another.
Man,
no, keep pushing your shit until the whole world hear that shit, man.
Man, somebody stole all them memories on dats and shit back then. I lost all them dats, man. Lil V let a motherfucker get all our dats, man. I can't even find them songs. I just got the Self-Made Entrepreneurs album.
Oh, goddamn.
I just got that shit self that you let me bump out. Remember you let me sign your motherfucking release party out that time, remember?
Yeah,
I still got the pictures over on that shit. My mama got all that shit, Joe.
Damn. I do need that shit. Hey,
wait, can you get up here, though? No, we got some new shit. I got some new shit for you, Joe, so-called. Wait for you. Man,
you still
looking scared to get on truck.
Are you still in what? You still in K-Town?
Yeah, nigga, you know I ain't even. I'm everywhere. I'm all through this motherfucker, Joe.
Hey.
Well, I like that street geek picture. I just seen you in that all white with that street geek shirt. That shit cold, boy.
Yeah, I got all that shit, man. Hoodies, I go hoodies, street geek, Vincent Toddy shit. I got all that shit, JD. I'm waiting for you because as soon as you get up here, I'm going to give you that shit.
Yo, we're going to be marking like motherfuckers. But, Scott, what's up, though? You still there?
Yeah.
Yep. I know that nigga Scott. Scott know what it is, man. He know you my man, Joe. He know we ain't talked in a long time. Scott, my man, I love that UG shit. Fuck Illuminati. And that Dr. Kadafra shit. CO smashing on them niggas, Tech Man. Fuck them gay-ass niggas. You feel me?
Hey, we're gonna... Hey, I want to thank both of you brothers for coming on. JD, man, it's always a huge honor to talk to you. Trey Wood... You know what I'm saying? You know what it is, man. And man, we're going to end this with CO song, man. It's called Liar. Did you hear this one, JD?
No, but go on, play it. I'm finna hear it.
All right, here you go, man. This shit's crazy.
Motherfucker, you ain't a G, you a motherfucking liar. I'm the king, bow down to the sire. When I catch you on the block, I'm a trier. Fruity motherfucker, honey, you and papaya. You ain't a G, you a motherfucking liar. I'm
I'm the king, bow down to the fire. When I catch you on the block, I'm a trier. Fruity motherfucker, honeydew and papaya. Fuck an undercover cop, they be posing as a rap star. Fuck you and your label, what up, ma? You wanna pull guns, meet me in the street. You wanna battle rap, meet me on the beat. Pizza knots, but them dudes ain't great. And if they wanna die, meet me in the graveyard. Come to your show, snatch your ass off stage. Beat him so that motherfucker scream, okay. Fuck that, don't stop. Don't set bitch till he shit butt clops. He ain't witness perfection, I heard the feds got him. Shoot him in the foot, now he rockin' red bottom. Ugg boots and jiggins, fuck your truck fit. Even baby monkey ass won't rock that fuck shit. You signed with a faggot that bought some street cred. But y'all niggas steal this softer than wheat bread. You ain't a G, you a motherfucking liar. I'm the king, bow down to the sire. When I catch you on the block, I'm a trier. Fruity motherfucker, honey. You and papaya. You ain't a G, you a motherfucking liar. I'm the king, bow down to the sire. When I catch you on the block, I'm a trier. Fruity motherfucker, honeydew and papaya. An ignorant ass rapper, cut your dreads, motherfucker.
What's a goblin to a clock?
A dead motherfucker. Torch him and scorch him, yeah, then I'm killing him. Put pressure on the back and make them lose their equilibrium. Then take his bitch and make her give me face front. And bust a big nut on that whole lace front. Bad black motherfucker, bow down in my presence. You know you're the king when you're pissing off the peasants. Cut his ear off, soak him in the Smirnoff. Before you kill him, burn his motherfucking beard off. Demolition, we loot, cock and shoot. Blow the roof off and poop like Rock Mara. If you wanna fight back, motherfucker, go ahead. Fuck around and come up short like a midget with no leg. Come to the side, you can't get past us. Stop lying, turnkey, shut your bitch ass up.
Yeah.
You ain't a G, you a motherfucking liar. I'm the king, bow down to the sire. When I catch you on the block, I'm a trier. Fruity motherfucker, honeydew and papaya. You ain't a G, you a motherfucking liar. I'm the king, bow down to the sire. When I catch you on the block, I'm
it's
a trier.
Bad Black right here with the song Liar. I'm going to say what up one last time to JD before we get out of here. JD, what'd you think of that shit, man?
Hey, see, your ass is a motherfucking monster, man.
Yeah, I can't wait to hear the two of you guys get down and get on the track, man. It's definitely, anticipated.
Got too much shit.
Yeah.
Still too much shit. CO got catalogs and shit. I don't think nobody got more shit than CO.
Yeah, he's got hella shit, man. And I got a little archive over here of his shit. So, plus a lot of shit people ain't even heard. So, you know, he's got albums. The thing about CO is when he's working, like he was working on an album called The Bad Black Cometh, and he got about halfway done with it. Then he's like, he calls me up. He's like, Prez, I'm going to start this mixtape. And he got about halfway done with it, and he's like, I'm going to do Dr. Kafar. And he's got about five projects on deck. I mean, it's just crazy. You know, yeah. It's just his work ethic is. I mean, if I had the money, you know what I'm saying, I would get T in the studio, pay that motherfucker like 20 racks, and just get him in there for weeks, get you in there, get Treywood in there, get everybody in there, and just man, can you imagine what that shit would do to the game?
Man, banging shit out. That's what the game need is real motherfucker.
Yeah, real people shit. Real shit. Well, hey man, you've been with us for a long time, and I really appreciate you taking out the time, my brother, and you're always welcome here anytime, man, for real.
All right, man, love.
All right, take care, JD.
Bye, Wood.
That's it right there, man. That's the, you know what I'm saying, Murder Master Music Show, episode 34, man. We finally knocked it out. We had problems last week, technical difficulties. I want to say what up to Swoop and, you know, shout out to him for interviewing JT of Into Deep out of the Bay Area. Definitely got to say what up to JD Walker. Trey Wood came through. You know, Mac J, of course. You know what I'm saying? Six, I know you're hella faded over there, man. Shit, let me bring out Six. Let's see what his condition is currently. Six, you there? Six is gone. He ain't even on the line. So six probably passed out, man. He's hella faded on some shit. But we had a good show, man. We'll see you guys this Thursday. We got Al Capone, you know what I'm saying, coming through, Memphis legend. So check us out 9 p.m. this Thursday. And of course Saturdays as always, Yo, Mac J, Velvet Rose, and my brother Six, KFYB, stand for Fuck You Bitch. They be doing a crazy fucking variety show, Church Reality on Sundays, 9 p.m. And then, of course, me and Six, we're going to bring back the Fuck the Illuminati Underground podcast. So we ain't going nowhere. This is UGS Radio, UGS for Life. Fuck the Illuminati. Fuck anybody that ain't down with us. And make sure you cop that magazine, Halloween Night, Underground Society magazine. Get that motherfucker, 2 1/4. Everybody can afford it, $2. Come out your pockets.